Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang. Edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're coming to you live from the floor of the Bookery in downtown Placerville. And we've got basically a live investigation rolling. We took some time out to do the show. So we're in a darkened room sitting here at the front of the store, the Bookery, right in the center of a very haunted main street in Placerville, California. And so we have my cousin Kevin, and we have Jim and Kathy, two of our investigators with us. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Okay, yeah, so we're telling ghost stories, and we've already been had a few strange things happen here. I had a case in the back where my cousin was following into the back at our command center, and I witnessed a chair actually fall backwards off of a ledge in front of me just as I walked towards it, and we tried to debunk it. We were able to debunk it in a way that didn't make sense, and we were not sure what to make of it, and we're not going to call it evidence, but it's an unusual happening. What were some of the other things that happened, guys? What else did we have? That, I mean, you're picking up presences, right, Kathy?
Yeah.
Female?
Male and female.
Okay. Yeah, we've had in one section of the store, which is just, or if you go around the back to the world history section, Kathy has been picking up stuff, and so have I. I had an actual sighting of something that looked about maybe 3 feet tall, sort of self-luminous, peeked in and out about 3 feet away from me around a bookcase, and then just was gone. And we tried to debunk that by thinking maybe it was flash from Jim taking pictures. We're not able to debunk it. So, again, that's a personal story. It's not evidence, but I will relate it at our reveal to our client here at the Bookery. So that said, we're in the middle of this investigation. It's been a lot of fun. A little bit about the town of Placerville. I'm going to switch over to, let me find some things here that talk about some of the things around here, like the Hangman's Tree. Placerville is often called Old Hangtown or Hangtown, or Dry Diggings, and different names like that prevailed during the Gold Rush days. And a lot of people did hang out here, a lot of gunfights. The Pony Express, actually, probably less than 300 feet away, had a terminus right here. So a lot of interesting things that were happening all through history here that people hear about and know all about, but honestly, it's just filled with ghostly events and different things that have happened. We get a lot of EVPs around here, especially down in the town of Coloma, which is just about 15, 20 minutes away. But all the way here, right now, right in this very street we're at, we do get these strange things that happen. And I've got literally hundreds and hundreds of EVPs on the GRI website. If you go to www.ghost-writer-investigations.com, you will end up, you can actually go to our EVPs and pull down some of the things there and listen to them for yourself. We'll go ahead and do our call-in number here if you want to call in and talk with us. The number is 646-478-0377, and we'll be announcing that every so often. We're going to go ahead and go through the paranormal news, which is our standard thing. I'm kind of doing this on the fly, guys, without my normal show notes, so I kind of prepared the best I could. This comes from theage.com.au. This is A Haunting Life Absorbed by Ghosts, Paranormal, and the Occult. Hans Holzer, very famous ghost hunter. He died here on April 26, 2009. Hans is one of the reasons I got into this field. A lot of his books I read as a kid all through growing up. And I actually got to talk with his daughter in December of last year. And we had quite an interesting hour with her. And I can't remember her name right off the bat, but she has an interesting book that I've been talking with her. And I think I'm going to be able to get her on as a guest on the show here upcoming in the next several months. So I think it's Andrea, but don't quote me. Anyway, Hans, I'll read off here from the story. Hans Holzer, whose investigations into the paranormal took him to haunted houses all over the world, most notably the Long Island house that inspired the Amityville Horror, has died at his home in Manhattan at the age of 89. Holzer wrote more than 140 books on ghosts, the afterlife, witchcraft, extraterrestrial beings, and other phenomena associated with the realm he called the other side. He conducted his most famous investigation with the medium Ethel Johnson Myers in 1977, and they roamed the house in Amityville in which a young man, Ronald DeFeo, had murdered his parents and four siblings in 1974. The house became notorious after its next owners claimed to have been tormented by a series of noises and eerie visitations. Set out in the best-selling 1977 book, The Amityville Horror, a true story written by Jay Anson. And so it goes on to this particular story goes on and on to talk about Mr. Holzer. I'll go on just with a little bit more here. He was born in Vienna, Austria, and studied archaeology and ancient history in numismatics at the University of Vienna before his family moved to New York in 1938. After studying Japanese at Columbia University. Holzer indulged in an infatuation with the theater in the 1950s and wrote sketches. He earned a master's degree in comparative religion and a doctorate in parapsychology at the London College of Applied Science and taught parapsychology at the New York Institute of Technology.
Sorry, that's breaking up. Oh.
Hello?
I'm not actually breaking up. I'm Brian.
Yeah.
And I need to turn the lights on for a minute.
Why, what's going on?
I need to get some books for the book fair.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Well, we're in the middle of a radio show, but go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Welcome aboard.
All right. It's going to get bright.
Not a problem.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Anyway, so. Okay.
Or a bookshelf. Sorry.
No problem. We've got.
He forgot to bring it.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to continue with the show. So let's go on to the next item. And you can't say that we're not adaptable here. Let's see. The Let's talk here. Next story is Colorado Connection. This is by Fox 21, I think out of, I guess, Colorado. The Gold Camp Tunnels, are they really haunted? And this is out of Colorado Springs. As a matter of fact, my sister lives not too far from that area, and my niece, of all people, told me about a strange haunting in Aurora, Colorado, where they're having people will go out there to shall we say, kiss one another quite a bit to this particular spot in Aurora, and what they end up hearing is Indian music being played and strange languages being spoken that they can't make sense of. And so we're definitely, I've been talking to my niece about it and seeing if she can get more in it, more into that, but she seems to not be able to not want to do that. Oh yeah, we've been keeping it close. Okay, and so we'll go on here. So out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, there's common speculation that the Gold Camp tunnels are haunted. The road, once a railroad track, contains a very long history, which has spawned rumors of accidents. And this is one of these debunking stories that I kind of like. And we've had a whole week of strange debunking things going on, which are proof that some of this stuff is not the paranormal. One belief is that a school bus of children was traveling under a tunnel when it collapsed, killing all on board. And now the children can be heard now and then, and their handprints may even appear on your window if you turn your vehicle off inside the tunnel. One theory comes from a train conductor that supposedly committed suicide before the entrance. Oh, hey, that was a good move.
Gotta be tricky.
You're good, man.
All the tricks.
Hey, sir, are these for sale?
Oh, all that's for sale here, Kevin.
Oh, I'll ask you. Are these for sale at the Reading Books? Or are these
probably. I'd have to check and see if
there's
a
Anyways,
yeah.
Founder Chad Bilstein has investigated electronic voice phenomena.
I put your name on it.
And,
that'd be great. Yeah. Sorry, I'm flying. Sorry. Bad timing, I know.
We're having a heck of a show today.
Sorry, radio world.
Yeah, our one of our owners is in, I believe, and he's doing some work on getting some of the books. I've seen you before too. Yeah, thank you.
Well,
yeah, this is not a problem. Let's see. Yeah, we've actually had some interesting things happen tonight, and a chair decided to move on its own in a way that we can't explain. Saw something in the room next door that wasn't quite right. We can't quite make sense of. So anyway, I'm going to just go ahead and just skip through. Anyway, this story on the Gold Camp Tunnels is really about the fact that some of these guys in this particular area in Colorado Springs were not able to be convinced that this was actually paranormal. So let's just go ahead and go on to the next story. And that's going to be paranormal events. This is out of Kentucky. Paranormal events planned at the Butler Turpin House and Perryville Battlefield. I believe this would be a Civil War event at a state park called the Butler Turpin State Historical House at General Butler State Resort Park. It's offering the Spirits of Butler Paranormal Study and Investigation during the week of May 16th to the 17th. Guests can stay for the weekend or on Saturday evening only. This is actually tomorrow and the next day for those of you in Kentucky. It's going to include psychometric kinesiology, billets, and more, along with presentations of images and audio of past paranormal events, ghost hunting basics, and the Skeptics Dictionary, along with the first time ever, the evening seance dowsing rods and crystal demonstration. Also included are an after-dark investigation of the house, basement, kitchen, and cemetery. Reservations are required, and the overnight package is about $99 a person or $159 a couple. So, again, the link for that is on our website if you want to go see that. And or just go to kypost.com and look for this story, Paranormal Events. And that said, let me look at the clock, see where we're at on the hour here. Not in my normal studio, so we're 15 minutes in. Yeah, let's talk some more about some of the key stuff we've had happening. So we basically, when we got here, we did our sweep and found that EMF was pretty good in here. And the reason I think that a lot of the electrical was good is because I believe this facility was reconstructed in the 1980s. And so the wiring is good. It looks like it's been done correctly, which a lot of the buildings around here on Main Street are not very well wired. So this is ideal for the kind of work we're doing. We did get EVPs here in the past, some of which we're going to play tonight. This is a one-hour show, so we're going to just dive right into some of that. Depending on how long the things are going to be moving around here, so I'm going to just make the best of it. So that said, let's talk about what happened when we were here. Let me just zip down to what we have. We got one here by somebody named Elward. In April 21st, we were here doing pre-investigation work, and we were near the front of the store when we got this voice saying, "Hi, Elward," and it's one of those typical EVPs that you get that are just strange, high-pitched sounding thing. So we're going to go ahead and play this. Did you hear that? "Hi, Elward." We're going to play that again. Whoops. Sit down here. And one more time. And I'm going to boost the volume on that since we're here in the bookery and not in my normal studio with headphones. So here we go. "Hi, Elward." Yeah. So, I'm going to try it one more time here. Try it one more time. See what you think. And there was nobody, there was like about three people in here during the afternoon when we did the pre-investigation. So I had no explanation for that. Now, around where you've been picking up, Kathy, around where you've been picking up kind of the, around the corner on the other side, in the world history section where I've been getting stuff. I'm not sure you're going to be able to hear this, but it's a pretty good EVP with headphones on. And basically it's this guy saying, "Get out." And so we're going to play that. Hear that?
One more time.
Okay, I'm going to boost it. Do it. "Get out." So whatever this was speaking, it was very clearly "get out." So I'm going to just play it one more time. So that's why I'm pretty sure we're going to get some activity on both your recorders and ours. That sounds like a male voice to me, which is what I get the feeling of a male over there, very strong. Is that what you're getting? Okay. Huh. And we do know that this was a restaurant at one time. You know, the bookery was a restaurant. There was like a restaurant dinner theater type arrangement here. And prior to that, I think it was Nancy was saying that Nancy is one of the owners here, was saying that this was also at one time a hotel that you could rent by the hour, shall we say, and that some of the names we got might fit some of the people back then. So I'm going to talk with Michelle, our researcher, and see if she can pull back some of the older history of this particular block and see maybe what building might have been here, what businesses were here. So we just want to confirm that. We're just going on hearsay at this point. So what else? I mean, you felt the woman over here, though, up at the front, right about where we're at, right?
Yeah, it's a wider interstitial.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the feeling I get on this side. It's definitely more concentrated, heavy over there.
Yeah.
And then over here, it's just this, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, not less ominous, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and go. We've got 10 minutes until our next break. I got this one, and I really am not sure what to make of it. I'm going to go ahead and kick it up higher so you guys can hear it. It says something like, "Hope you dag nabbit." And I guess that's maybe hope you get out of here, or I'm not sure what to make of it, but here we go. And it was so quick. You'll hear that kind of high-pitched voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's too screwy, but we had another one here, which says, I love her. Which is, I guess it was, it sounded like a male voice talking about maybe one of the women here. Hard to make a sense of. I'm going to take it up to 200%. And I think this one's pretty clear. And love her. You heard that? Kind of a...
I heard, yeah.
Love her. It's when you hear it with headphones on, you hear the I. You're welcome. And our bookery employee, who we thank profusely, and wish him a good night, is leaving, and he's been on the air all this time. God bless. Thank you. We got one here that is. Now,
you guys have a key, right?
Yeah, I got the key.
Okay.
Yep. You. Yeah, I got it right here. Thank you. Bookery mean. This guy, we think this guy is saying something about someone being mean. And I'll take it up to 150.
One of the back rooms here.
I heard something hissing back
there. Yeah. It's saying, he says he's mean or something like that. There we go.
One of the back rooms here.
Hear that?
Yeah, he...
Sound like a hiss. That's what I thought.
Yeah, when you put the headphones on, you'll hear mean.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll make sure you guys... I'll point you to where the links are so you guys can check this. It's just... And here's the one that got us right about 10 feet back from where we're sitting right now. It's where I picked up the one about Rosie. And this one's kind of strange. It's just got an unearthly tone to it. Wait till Kathy gets close here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go. And... did you hear that?
High pitched?
It's kind of a low... you heard that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's play it again for you. Here we go.
Yeah.
So that was picked up right, yeah, it's right around here, just in front of the ghost, oddly enough, the ghost section.
The ghost section.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see if we got anybody in chat room. We still don't have, nope, we don't have many in chat, so we're going to assume we've probably only got a few people listening. So whoever's listening, hello, thank you for being here. I know it's a Friday night. You're probably all off partying, and we're doing the show here. Mm-hmm. So that said, let's talk about Placerville itself a little bit proper. I'm going to go ahead and go run to the show page, and let's talk about some of the downtown history. And here we go. We've got our page pulled up. It was known in its early history as Hangtown, and although many stories exist how the name was acquired, the most famous story involved a colorful event that occurred in January of 1849. A gambler named Lopez gained a lot of attention for the big winnings at a local saloon, and as he retired for the evening, several men tried to overpower him, and Lopez fought back, and with the help of others, the robbers were captured. During their flogging, three of the robbers were also accused of being wanted for a murder and robbery. With no more evidence than that, a short 30-minute trial took place, and a unanimous guilty verdict was given, and the Crown demanded that the men be sentenced to death by hanging, and the rest was history. The famous hanging tree once stood in Elsner's hay yard next to the Jackass Inn. Today, the original stump from that old tree remains in the cellar of the Hangman's Tree Tavern on historic Main Street, which is about 200 feet to the left of me right now. So we're right on that spot where this all happened. So the Jackass Saloon, what is it? Jackass Inn. Did you say the place called Jackass Inn? I don't know. That's just not on a corporate kind of a calling card program, is there? That said, let's see. Throughout history, several famous entrepreneurs have conducted business here on Main Street. Philip Armour, a meat packer, Armour Meats. Mark Hopkins, a railroad financier. John Studebaker, the automaker, got his start here, making wheelbarrows.
You know that?
Yeah. And Snowshoe Thompson, a mail carrier known throughout the Sierras, was an important person here. Important historical landmarks that still remain here are the Bell Tower, which is a monument to the city's volunteer firefighters, placed there in 1855, and was used as an alarm system to call out the firefighters. The town has watched most of Placerville's history pass beneath it for well over 100 years. And it's been modeled, or the Bell has. So a lot has happened here. Speaking of three fires, the reason for the tower, three fires that year in April, July, and August claimed most of the Placerville's business section. So I guess the whole place burned to the frickin' ground a few times.
Yeah.
That's not good.
The building burned.
Yeah, the city gave its approval to the Bell Tower and in the plaza, and this was done at a cost of a towering $380, and now it serves as a gathering place for parade, celebration, and other historic Main Street events. As a matter of fact, during our February EBP walkthrough that Kat and I did out here, which got us into this building, we got several strange EVPs out in that vicinity. So it seems like probably for roughly 1,000 feet up and down this whole street, there's just not a place you can go without getting some EVP activity. And you were saying we did have a visitor here yourself. That
we did.
We had a female. You think it might have been Rosie?
You know, it could have been.
Yeah, so.
Kind of came in to see what was going on and then retreated. So maybe we can get her back.
Yeah, we're hoping that, and so we're going to we're coming up on the half hour break. We're going to take a few minutes and just play some of our music, and then get back and kind of finish out the show. Talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing here with GRI in the next few weeks. Which some things are going to be happening are next week we're going to go out and hit some of the Indian Grinding Stones State Historic Park, which is over near the town of Volcano. We're going to spend the day out there trying to do some EVP work and see what we pick up. And not only that, just have a nice picnic lunch that day and just enjoy just being out and do whatever. So we're going to do that the following week, end of the month. We're going to head out to, three of us are from GRI are going to head out to Nevada, to Virginia City. We've rented the Haunted Miner's Cabin, and I am going to be taking the spirits there, a bottle of Southern Comfort, and going to be spending the evening there and offer a toast to them because they seem to like having a snifter of the whiskey around. That's what they ask for from some other EVP investigators, Mark and Debbie Constantino, and they advised me that I should do that too, so I'm going to do that, see what we pick up. And that said, I think we'll go ahead and switch over to our control module here. We're at the half-hour break, and let's find some good music to play for you guys. And first we'll play some Scooby-Doo, just because we feel like it. So here we go.
Ready and you're willing. shake it so well. She shook like jelly on the plate. Oh, it's tied like that.
It's tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
It's tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tied like that. It on a shelf, said, don't shake it anymore. You've got to shake it yourself. Oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, yeah, tied like that.
Not tied like that.
It's tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said, it's tied like that.
Yes, yeah, tied like that.
And leaned against the wall. Oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
I'm getting mighty tired of sleeping by myself. Oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Butcher, but I'm the butcher's son. I can cut your meat until the butcher comes.
Yeah,
oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tied like that. But I've been told that the ladies in heaven like a sweet jelly roll. Oh, it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Oh, it's tied like that.
Can't you hear me talking to you? I said it's tied like that.
Yes, tied like that.
Okay, we're back, and 24 minutes remaining in the show. We were just talking, Kathy and I were agreeing that we're both kind of feeling it's a little bit ominous in here tonight. They're not going to be staying. It's going to be Kevin and me, my cousin, who's with me. We got our sleeping bags, and we kind of decided to sleep up front where we can actually see what's going on and have our keys in case we have to get the hell out of here. But it's there's an ominous feeling off in the far corner. If you go around the back side of the store over to the world history section, we've had sightings, and there's been some EMF, a couple of spot readings that were strange that we just couldn't make sense of, and just overall, just the feeling this, it's not quite right.
Not right. And even with playing the music, John, don't you think? I thought that would have lightened the energy, but it didn't seem to.
No, we kind of got the feeling this one guy, now the past EVPs, some of the stuff we played where he, get the hell out, get out, definitely not very friendly and seems to like his space. Some of the things we got in the past, too, there was a general Colonel Tyra or a Colonel Tyrant whose name was mentioned, and we don't know who some of these figures are. We're going to be researching them some more. We kind of feel this is going to be a yet another of our longer-term cases that we'll come back to again every so often and see what other names we pick up. But did you hear that? I just thought I heard a voice over there. I'm not kidding you. I thought I heard something, like something say something over right over there. Okay, so we just think we've heard a voice, actually. Yeah, just see if you pick anything up or sense anything. Honestly, I did hear something.
There was no one on the street.
There was no one there.
And got the ghost around. So.
Yeah, just keep that EVP or EMF recorder running. And I got my EMF right there, so. But I swear I heard something. Huh. It was just as I finished talking, I heard it sounded like somebody, the end of the sentence, somebody saying a word or two, and you just caught it. You know how that goes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a recorder going?
Yeah. I got my hand.
Good, you got yours? Good, we might have an in. So let's make a mark to that, and it's roughly 22 minutes until 11 o'clock. So that's odd. But on this side of the store, it's just like you said. I think it's a very light kind of energy. I think it's definitely feminine. Mm-hmm. This is where most of the women spend their time, and I would tend to think that the guys tend to... That's the guys' side over there. That's where all the history...
And the military books.
And the military books and the sport, and big-time sports and all the science and mathematics and all that. Mm-hmm. And the guy's name again, what was his name?
Vern.
They talked about here that a gentleman by the name of Vern seems to have had some real attachment to that section. And when I did the pre-investigation on the 21st of last month, in April, I put the recorder up and briefly just stepped into the bathroom to take care of some business. And when I got back and brought the recorder back and played some of the some of what I got, that's when I got these threatening kind of, you know, get the heck out of here EVPs. So it was very, it's always been a strange feeling there, and I just never could figure it. The other thing is like, and maybe you guys have heard of this kind of thing, where you go into antique stores and you get strange feelings because people's belongings have been brought in.
Yeah, spiritual energy.
Yeah, and I don't think that books would be too much different. They might be objects that harbor these things. And so we're surrounded by this wave of all this stuff that's been in so many different homes.
Yeah, some of these are very old too.
Yeah. So a lot of these books have just been there probably for many, many years in different locations, and they've just been brought in. So it's got a overall flavor all its own. But I look in the back there, looking at my shadow moving, and I just lost it there. And turned to the right and saw my shadow. And I went, what is that? So that was weird. Okay. Now that was definitely people.
That was outside. The car.
Yeah, we could tell that. I was checking to see if that was. Yeah. I was surprised that guy came in the middle of our show. I saw the door opening and I about lost it. I was like, what the?
No, we're all still trying to recover from that.
Yeah, we're still recovering from that. Yeah, just at the first part of the show, if you weren't listening, it was just, what the heck? Yeah, anyway, we'll do our station ID. I normally do that at regular intervals. This is, for those of you just coming in, we've got 20 minutes left. This is blogtalkradio.com, and you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Improvising as we go with our portable studio for the first time. We're calling out on our Skype phone and then using a pirate connection to the Internet, which we were able to find. Yes, thank you, Annie. We were making do with what we had because we were told we'd have a connection that would work here, and it didn't work out that way. So we're making it work with what we've got, and we're still able to do a show. And so we have no callers in. If you still want to try to call us and talk to us for a minute, 646-478-0377. So
how did... tell the audience about the unexpected results of leaving the back door open.
Yeah, we had one event which was absolutely just startling as heck. But my cousin and me both were looking down at the end of the hall. We had set up, we were sensing something strange down at the end of the hall. Jim and Kathy brought us in to go look at this because they were seeing what they thought was something that they could explain away. And they had the bathroom was closed, and from about 100 feet away, we could see what we thought was something looking out back at us. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it might be your eyes playing tricks on you, but then we weren't sure. So I set an EMF recorder down. I took a K2 meter and set it at the end and put my voice recorder down. And what ended up happening was Kevin and I were looking down there, and the two of you were looking away, and suddenly the lights just go out on the K2, and I'm looking, and my eyes kind of got bright. I go, what the?
It's a very dark area.
Yeah, it's dark, and so, you know, you would expect if the K2 was going to have activity, it's going to turn multiple colors. But, well, it went the opposite. It just went out, and then it blinked on and off a bunch of times, and suddenly it came back on, and so we were like, what the heck is that? And we ended up putting a lot of conjecture as to what had happened. All of a sudden we realized we had a cat had wandered in from the back. We had the door partially closed, and it worked its way in. And this cat walked in and just looked around and checked our meters out, and we just didn't see it until the very end of it. As a matter of fact, when we finally did see it, Jim just about jumped out of his skin. So it was just, oh, no, no, no. But we've been debunking stuff as we go in here, and that's good. We've had just a whole range of phenomena that we've been able to sort of explain away, although I find the chair very hard.
Yeah, I agree.
I really think we had an event there, because I was just not walking fast enough for that chair to be bumped all the way and fall over the edge like that. I mean, it was just like somebody picked it, just swept it over on its back. So I'm going to tell the owners about this and say, yeah, I think we had something there, but I can't prove it. It's just a personal story right now, but something to think about that you definitely got. What I think is we've got a male ferret or two back there doing that. Now, in the back of the rookery, there's like an open area that where the building used to extend all the way back. And that's where there was a dinner theater at one time, and also seating for, you know, diners, you know, eating whatever the restaurant served here. I think it was an Italian restaurant at one time. But that's all gone now. In the 80s, they refit the building and just kept enough of it to call it a remodel job. So they basically hacked half the back of the building off. So it's now an open area where there's like a garden in the back and some like a little building for some things that they store back there, and that's it. And our command center's back there right now, but that's where the strange thing happened that I can't make sense of. And then, Kevin, you got the music, which you thought it was just odd music, and we debunked that because there's houses in the back with a window open. So it's a challenging place to do an investigation, especially the acoustics in here are weird with all the books and all the bookshelves are cattywampus. I mean, they're off at angles and everything's strange. Not that I want to be in the dark without a light, for sure. I can tell you that.
It's dark back in the corner.
Yeah, and I really think that though we've got, so just like you're saying, though, I think we got something brewing over in that backside there. I'm going to stay up a bit and go back there and try to work it. It's going to be you and me together on that one, and we go and do.
Yeah.
And nobody alone.
I don't want to
invest in it. Yeah, I'll be really careful back there, but I tend to think it's, I don't think it's a guy that is going to hurt us, but I think he might try to scare us. You know, that would be the kind of thing I would guess. If we do hear any footsteps, we'll have to make sure that we've got the couple living up top of us, who I'm not sure if that guy was one of them, but he might have been the one.
Oh, he pulled up that vehicle.
Oh, he did?
Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a single thing above us.
Okay. Did you?
No.
Well, I don't know. We'll try some more of that music in the lower volume. What we did try to do was use the Singapore theory, which the Singapore theory basically states that if you go into a potentially haunted location and play period music or bring things that are recognizable from a time period that spirits might have some understanding of, that this would stimulate some paranormal activity. And we did play some of that music. I'm not sure if you guys picked up any increase in energy or anything like that. It didn't seem to really do much.
Well, it's when the music was playing, was when Kathy and I were back at the end of the dark hallway there, and first noticed what I thought was an optical illusion of shadow coming out of the bathroom at the opposite end of the hallway.
Oh, really?
Yes. The music was playing at that time, and we were just sitting back there quietly for a couple of minutes, and
yeah.
I was commenting to Kathy, watch the how it the shadows play with your eyes back there.
Yeah.
And she saw what I saw, which was appeared to be a shadow come out of the bathroom and go back into the bathroom. Come out of the bathroom, go back into the bathroom. That's when I came and got you. that's when you put the EMF meter down on the floor, and that's when we were joined by the kitty cat.
Well, I would tend to think maybe we did get a response then, because, you know, I had that odd, before we did that, we had that odd, you know, luminescent thing
yeah.
that appeared right at the corner where you sensed it.
Yeah.
Independently of me getting the EMF spikes there, right behind where you were standing, I got the EMF spikes. And everything centralizes around that one area of the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to have lesser activity all through here, but that's, there's some, I think we drove it, whatever it was, down to the bathroom. And it was just sitting back there, and the music may have been simulating it.
And this is a great idea. I got to go find that disc bar.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a case where we use that over and over again. I just want to use it. See, it's all through here. This is all mining. So I'm definitely going to load it onto the recorders and have it played out loud. So, there, but, see what...
You can play over by the Gold Rush area.
Yeah. Yeah, down in... in Coloma. Okay, we got about 10, 11 minutes. Remaining. Oh, we got ED Paranormal is on the out there. Let's see if she's on. Hello, is ED Paranormal there? Hello, Christine, are you there? No, it's ED. It's that would be Christine. I'm assuming she would be on. Christine, can you hear us? Well, I'm going to leave you on, hon, so if you are there, pop on, and we hope that you get on with us. We know you're trying to get to us. Huh.
We miss having you here.
Yeah, we miss having you here. Figure we could cart a bed over here real quick if you want to just, like, crash out in the front of the store. We'll put you on the street. We'll just sleep out in the damn sidewalk. Heck with it. We'll have a good time. The cops will haul us away only at about 4 in the morning, okay? Christine? Yeah, that's weird. I'm not sure if she's trying to use Skype or what. I've never seen just ED Paranormal show up like that. Usually we get a phone number. That's off the wall. So, Christine, are you there? No, I'm not sure. I still don't see her. Okay. Anyway, we'll continue on. Do you feel like we've got... I'm saying it's in a building.
I think it's a building. I think it's escalating it up.
So you think... What do you think we're going to get? What's your prediction?
I think we might get...
somebody's upset.
Yeah. And I think... I think we're going to end up with somebody probably popping in on us to maybe we'll get another guy opening the door with a key and rousing us. No, I think we're going to end up with footsteps and possibly the books. I do feel that whoever they are, they're going to build their energy up about 2 to 3. That's about right.
Yeah, they're with us now.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
How many we got?
One. Two.
Male or male for both?
Probably
both. Okay. Is the male the thoughtful one?
I have one from back.
Well, okay, whoever you are, Vern, if that's you, we're actually very nice people. We're going to spend the night here. A couple of us, and we're just here only to talk with you. We're going to set some recorders up for you. I'm going to put our new high-definition recorder up for you to hear us, and you can talk to it, and we can hear you. And Kevin's like, I bet we're going to fall asleep. You're going to be a great investigator to have along. You're just going to crash right in the middle of it.
Probably going to crash.
You can sleep through like a paranormal hurricane, dude.
If all things fall apart, we're going to
be falling around, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, the town is winding down. It's kind of, I'm surprised at how much activity is here on a Friday night. Usually it's pretty dead. There seem to be people out across the street, so.
Sometimes. Right there.
Yeah. Oh.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, we're coming up to the end of the show here. We got about 7 minutes remaining. Well, we got another caller. I'm going to try this one, 253-268-0700. Is someone there?
Yes, John.
Hey, Kat.
What are you doing?
We're in a haunted bookstore.
Is that Kat?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Kat. Kat, hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wow.
Yeah, well, hey, yeah, we've got lights out. We've had an invasion of the bookstore employee right in the middle of the show. And I've got a jury-rigged studio here. I've got the Skype phone on the floor along with a crazy connection to the Internet so we can make things work. You got off work early, huh?
No, oh, I got off at 10, and I got here about 10:30, and then I just got on the computer and didn't know if you were going to do the show or not, so I just thought that I would call in.
Okay, well, hey. Yeah,
good to hear you.
Good to have you aboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've already had a little bit of stuff happen. We had the a chair decide to up and fall over on itself in the back. And,
right.
And I had a sighting of what I thought about a 3-foot-tall luminous something peeked around the corner 3 feet from me and then jammed back around the corner of this bookcase. And now Kathy here has been having, you know, her own sensations and feeling things going on. And we've had a scare from a cat that managed to get into the store. So, yeah, there was a cat. Ha! Huh, get it? Cat?
Yeah.
Now you got a cat on the show.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so it's just, hey, by the way, Shock's going to be on, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because I was going to send a confirmation out to them just to check. And,
cool.
I haven't heard back from them, so I'm going to send one more out tomorrow. And by the way, we got Dad out of the hospital, so he's doing pretty good, pretty tired right now, so. You know, so things are finally easing up a bit. Good, but
well, I'm glad I could help with that.
Well, it was good. And, it's just right now just trying to get through this evening. And we're a little bit spooked, though, about that one side of the bunkery here. We feel like something's going to happen.
You have a woman with you, and her name would be Madeline.
Okay.
And she is under duress. She's been victimized. She's under duress. She wants to talk to you, but she's now there's a man, and I don't think it's not the sheriff. It would be his name is Jack Jackson? Jack. His name is Jack. He actually would be like a John, like a customer. So he's coming through because she's one of these people that would have something to say to you, and he doesn't want her to talk to you, so the energy level is starting to rise.
Well, do you think we're gonna have any phenomena tonight?
I know you will. There's a little boy, and his name would be Petey.
Okay.
His name is Petey. And this would be the little boy that I told you about that was out in the street that got hit by the liquor cart. Remember we talked about that?
Okay.
When I was down there, yeah. So you've got these individuals that are there that they know I can see them. They want you to see them, and so they'll start doing things to let you know that they're there.
Well, I think Kevin's so sleepy he's gonna sleep through a lot of it.
Probably.
And I'll
Kevin.
Yeah, five. So, but it was fun. It's kind of neat to see a new world.
Yeah.
And like new contact people, be friendly.
Yeah.
And respect, you know, the area and all that. Respect them. I respect them.
Okay, well, we're coming up on the end here, Kat. So it's
good to hear from you, Kat. Good,
yeah, we're at the last 2 minutes here of the show. I'll give you a yell tomorrow and let you know how things went.
Great.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for calling in, and we're just going to wrap it and then start getting things set up here. I got to move my car up closer because I don't want it out of sight, especially here downtown. So I'm going to park it in front of the store and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay, so you have Madeline, you have Jack, and then you have Petey.
Madeline, Jack, and Petey. Okay, got
and
it.
Petey.
And Jack's the guy to watch, right?
Jack is the one that will have a fit.
Okay, well, we'll be careful around Jack then.
Yeah, for real.
All right, kiddo. Hey, we're going to... Yeah, we got 90 seconds to end the show, so, hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, see you later, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take care, Kat.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And with that, it's another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and... being in the can, and we're going to go ahead and play our ghost theme for tonight and just let the show run out. So, good night, everybody.
Yeah.